Hello, and welcome to the Heavenbound Podcast. My name is Jason Harden. I'm here with Roger Shouse, and we are opening the Bible in search of fuel for your spiritual journey. This is where we talk about life, the way it was meant to be, and what it means to be a disciple of Jesus in the 21st century. We appreciate you joining us on the journey. We're kicking off a new three-part series that will take us, Lord willing, throughout the rest of the month of November. We want to look at some ancient songs of thanksgiving to God, but also some modern thanksgiving hymns, songs of praise to God that we often sing. And even at the end of each one of these next three episodes on Friday, we want to play you a recording. Many of us are not able to gather with Christians the way that we have loved for so many years and sing songs the way that means so much to us on the weekends. And so, Roger, we figured that this would be a nice Friday boost in view of Thanksgiving over the course of the next few weekends.
It will be. And one of the things that this will allow you to do is it'll allow you to sing this hymn. And sometimes we get a hymn in our mind and we just find ourselves singing it throughout the day. You know, the New Testament gives us a couple of wonderful principles about thanksgiving. In Colossians 3, verse 16, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to the Lord. There's that idea of being a thankful singer. And then over in the book of Thessalonians, chapter 5, and verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And so we want to look at three hymns. We want to look at some Old Testament texts that kind of fit together with that, and to talk about this idea of thankfulness. The year we live in is crazy, and there's a lot of folks that just want to rush through this year and get done with this because they see nothing but bad. But we want to press upon us, even in the midst of these storms, there's reasons to be thankful.
We can count our blessings, and that is the hymn that we want to zero in on, a hymn that many, many people love, Count Your Many Blessings.
Count Your Many Blessings, name them one by one. Let's talk about the background of that song, and then we'll kind of pull out a couple of phrases from that song, and then we're going to look in our Bibles. It was written by a man by the name of Johnson Oatman Jr. He was born in 1856 and died in 1922. His father was a well-known singer. They grew up in New Jersey, Lumberton, New Jersey. And some have said his father was the best singer in the state. Others have said his father was the best singer on the whole East Coast. Well, Junior, Johnson Jr., he wanted to be like his father. But sometimes as life does us, we are not handed down the same genes as our parents have. So he really couldn't sing very well. And that kind of frustrated him. So he turned to writing hymns. And several of our hymns that we know and love so dear came from the pen of Johnson Oatman Jr. Hymns such as Higher Ground, No Not One, The Last Mile of the Way, and what we're going to talk about today, Count Your Many Blessings. By the time of his death in 1922, he was 66 years old when he passed away, he had written over 5,000 hymns. His publisher was feuding with him because of him not wanting to take any money for this. And the publisher demanded that he set a price for his hymns, so he settled on $1 each because he didn't want any glory. He did not want any credit. He didn't want to make any profit. He was just glad to be able to do something. In many ways, he became better known, and his songs reached more people than the voice of his father ever did.
Yeah, it's amazing to think how well known his father was in his own generation. But if we stopped 100 people on the street today and asked them about his father, I'm very confident in saying not one person would know anything about who that man was, who had a spectacular voice. How many hundreds or thousands heard that man sing? But how many, perhaps millions of people have been encouraged by his son, Johnson Oatman Jr., who couldn't sing as well, but used his incredible God-given talents and gave us a song that we continue to sing more than 100 years later. I won't take the time to read all of the lyrics. As we said, we're actually going to play you a recording of a congregational singing of this song. But for our next few minutes, I just want to draw your attention to a few of the early lines of the hymn. When upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, immediately gives us the idea of a storm, right? When you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, or the beginning of verse 2, are you ever burdened with a load of care? Does the cross seem heavy you are called to bear? Those words are 100 years old, but Roger, that sounds a whole lot like 2020.
It sure does. And, you know, it gives us images even of the disciples being on the boat in the storm with Jesus, yeah, thinking that they're going to perish. But this takes us to Psalms 40. And we've chosen this passage in Psalms 40 because there are so many parallels to this. As David was going through some of the difficulties here, we notice in this chapter how he also was tempest-tossed and how storms were billowing around him and how difficult things seemed to be for him. And in verse 4 and verse 5, which we will begin here in Psalms 40, David says, "How blessed is the man who has made the Lord his trust, and has not turned to the proud, nor to those who lapse into falsehood. Many, O Lord my God, are the wonders which you have done, and your thoughts toward us. There is none to compare with you. If I would declare and speak of them, they would be too numerous to count."
That is the point of the hymn, right? You mentioned this is coming at a difficult point in David's life. I mean, early on in Psalm 40, he talks about the pit of destruction and the miry bog. There are many who are chasing after David. Verses 11 and 12 of Psalm 40 especially describe some really tough times. "Evils have encompassed me beyond number. My iniquities have overtaken me, and I cannot see. They are more than the hairs of my head. My heart fails me." But right in the middle of that is this encouragement. David is speaking to his own soul in a sense, and inviting whomever would read this song for ages to come. We may have many troubles, but the blessings of the Lord are more. There are more blessings than troubles, more blessings than heartaches. In fact, more blessings than we can possibly count.
He would say later at the end of this chapter, in verse 16, 17, "Let all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. Let those who love your salvation say continually, 'The Lord be magnified.' Since I am afflicted and needy, let the Lord be mindful of me. You are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, O my God." There again is that powerful connection to the Lord. The troubles were many, but the blessings were even more so. And that takes us to several similar situations in our Bible. We remember when God was making promises to Abraham. He had him go outside and look at all the stars in the heaven, too numerous to count. And he told him that's what his descendants would be. Took him to the sands and had him look at all the grains of sand, too numerous to count. And yet he told him that would be his descendants. We think about the Lord's message in the Gospel of Matthew, where God knows the very hairs of our head. Too many for us to count. Who knows how many hairs are on our head? But God knows. But from this great, great song that Johnson Oatman Jr. wrote, he's reminding us to count your blessings. Name them one by one. And when you start doing that, you start realizing, I have been blessed and blessed and blessed by the Lord.
As we count them, it draws our attention to the Lord. as we count them. It takes our attention maybe off of ourselves. The glory goes where the glory is due. In fact, I'm going to talk a little bit about that this coming Sunday morning, Lord willing, how it is good for us to give thanks to God. It lifts us above some of those storm clouds that you and I, Roger, talked about on Wednesday, gets us up above what maybe we see all on our own and fixes our eyes on God, fixes our eyes on Jesus. It will surprise you, Johnson Oatman reminded us, if we count our blessings, what the Lord has done.
And it's real easy when we, and sometimes we've had exercises like this, we are given a piece of class material and there's a blank there, and write down your blessings, and we all write down family, and we write down church and things like that. Those are all great blessings, visible blessings to us. But there's some that are invisible, things you can't really see with your eyes, but they're there. Love is that way. Hope is that way. Forgiveness is that way. Numerous blessings. And as the wonderful hymn goes, as we count them one by one, we start realizing, oh, I forgot about this blessing. I forgot about this blessing. The very idea that God loves you and God accepts you and you are alive today, you know, in the midst of 2020 with all the things that are negative and wrong, we could say there is absolutely nothing to be thankful for this year. Jason, how would you answer that?
Yeah, it is easy to count when things are going good. We might initially think, well, that's when it's easy to count. But we've got long biblical history that shows us when life is good, we enjoy those blessings, but maybe we don't appreciate where they have come from. What I appreciate, number one, about your question, and especially number two about the song, is it's encouraging us to count those blessings when life is hard. Why is that? I think it reminds us, were it not for the Lord, we wouldn't even be where we are today. Were it not for the Lord, the sun would not have risen. Were it not for the Lord, we wouldn't have air to breathe. And the more that we focus on this is how far God has brought me, and yes, right now I feel tempest tossed, maybe I'm discouraged, maybe the load seems very heavy to bear, but as I start looking at those blessings, I realize God has been with me every step of the way. What I'm going through right now is temporary. I think all of us can look back on seasons of our lives where we felt like, you know, this is just the worst and this is never going to end. But we got through it, and maybe we don't even remember the lowest of the lows because God was with us. God carried us through. God brought us through in ways that we couldn't even imagine in the moment.
It's easy, as you said, to take things for granted. Sometimes we don't catch these things till we're standing in the funeral home. And then, you know, someone has passed, someone that's meaningful to us. And all of a sudden we realize, man, there's just so many things they did for us, so many things that they helped us with, and we just kind of expected it and took it for granted. But there are so many things. Number one, we're not on our own.
Yeah.
We are not on our own. And as upside down, inside out 2020 has been, this is not the worst that this country has seen before. I can only imagine what my grandmother would have thought back 60, 70 years ago. She had two sons. One's my father. Both of them were fighting overseas in World War II. That's all her kids. And they couldn't talk on cell phones. So communication was really very limited. And to wonder, am I going to see one or even both of my boys ever again? But they got through that storm. And there's been worse storms than that. And what we see even in biblical times, there goes the people of God heading off to Babylon. Worst thing ever. Yet God was with them. over and over again.
I love how David says in our key text from Psalm 40 and verse 8, I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. And one of the most special things to me about hymns that we sing, they are a powerful way. I believe by God's design to get his will into our hearts. Roger, you and I both have visited brothers or sisters in the hospital who couldn't recite Psalm 40 off the top of their head. They've read it before. God's word is precious to them, but they haven't memorized Psalm 40. And yet, if you sit down with them and start singing Count Your Blessings, they know that song. Those words written 100 years ago are deep down in their hearts, and on the best of days and maybe the worst of days, those words are a source of comfort and perspective.
And I really like how Johnson Oatman Jr. ended this hymn. It's one thing to count your blessings and say, wow, I'm a rich man. Count your blessings. Look at me. Look at all the stuff I got. But he ends this hymn by saying, see what God hath done, what God has done for you. And God has done that because he loves you, he cares for you, and more than any other blessing you have, God wants you to have a relationship with him. He wants you to walk in right beside him every step of the way, even through these dark storms.
Yeah. Yeah. We hope our little reflection on this hymn is giving you something to think about as you head into this weekend. Please remember that we will not be gathering in person this Sunday. We will be streaming video the way that we did this past weekend. We encourage you to tune in at 9:30 on Sunday morning to charlestownroad.org or on Facebook, YouTube. I'm actually going to be talking, as I mentioned before, about how good it is for us to give thanks to God. And so we'll take this a practical step further. We're going to play in just a moment the hymn that we've been talking about as a way to close our episode out. And as Roger mentioned, we encourage you just to sing right along with it. Roger, thanks for joining me today. Thanks to all of you for listening to the Heaven Bound podcast. We hope it's helped you set your mind on things above and given you a little more fuel for the journey. Always remember, when you're walking with Jesus, there are so many blessings to count. First and foremost, you're heaven bound, and the best is yet to come.
When upon life's pillows you are steadfast, when you are distressed,